24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Millionaire Mentorship. Millionaire Mentorship. The Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Vashani Radio and iHeart Radio.
You are tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Vashani Radio. Always talking about everything from New York City. We're available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and anywhere a mobile device is available. This is Dr. Herbert Harris, author of the best-selling book, The 12 Universal Laws of Success. I'm a transformational speaker and trainer, written over 8 books. But I'm now engaged in transforming the lives of 1 million people to be more effective in attracting and creating wealth, living their dreams, and realizing their purpose and destiny. First, you know, I'd like to thank each and every one of you, our fans, our listeners, because I'll tell you something, folks, without you, we couldn't do what we do. So I appreciate you greatly. And look forward to sharing many more moments of enlightenment with you. You know, each program, we have a theme. And because of the guests we have today, we have a guest today, a young man who has used service, quality service, as a platform to make him a millionaire, to make him an author, coach, and visionary. And now really to make him a person who is creating a new world on the physical plane, a developer. Wow. And so his theme has always been service. And I like to open with a quote, and we have a couple of quotes today. Mahatma Gandhi said that the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others.
Wow.
Robert Ingersoll said, we rise by lifting others. And then finally, Peter Drucker said, quality in a service or product is not what you put into it, it is what the customer gets out of it.
Wow.
So folks, those quotes set us up for the guest that we have today, the special guest. And as we do in our program, we have a sharing, a moment of enlightenment where we share a message, which I think lays a foundation for our guests. And the message I want to share with us today is, I call it 7 guidelines for establishing your purpose. And this is based on our book, The 12 Universal Laws of Success. But the 7 guidelines that I think will help establish your purpose. Number one, your purpose must be idealistic. To always strive for the best and highest in all things. Mm-hmm. See things as they can be rather than as they are. Mm. Number 2, your purpose must be visionary. You must see beyond the horizon. Learn to perceive, remember, and accept and rely on your dreams. You know, don't be discouraged if your purpose appears to be impossible, impractical, or unrealistic to others. The fact that you had that dream, period, means that you have a level of consciousness that's consistent with making it happen. Mm. If it's impossible, it may be impossible for somebody else. But if you say you're going to fly, you're going to fly.
Wow.
Number 3, your purpose must be lifelong. Your purpose in life rarely changes. You know, from the moment, even as a little child, you can see that purpose manifesting. Your perception of it may change depending on your level of consciousness, but your purpose, your life's work, continues to evolve and you perceive it from moment to moment until you become totally one with it. Number four, your purpose must benefit everyone. Mm. The continuous realization of your purpose goes far beyond your personal life, your personal desires, and your ego. Mm-hmm. In other words, a purpose that is centered on you, yourself, what you want to do, be, and have, is not a purpose at all. But once your purpose goes beyond yourself and your ego, where you begin to touch and involve other people, that's when it becomes real. Number five, your purpose must be challenging. You know, if you can do it easily, it would have been done already. You know, the great ones are the ones that do the things that other people think are impossible. Wow. Your purpose should make you stretch to reach your highest potential. It should be a continuous challenge. Note this, a continuous challenge to your faith and to your ability. Your purpose should make you get better and better each and every day. Number six. Your purpose must set you on fire. Wow. If you're not on fire, man, if you're not just blowing and going, it's not a purpose. You need to rethink your situation. And then finally, number seven, your purpose must be worthwhile. It must fulfill a legitimate, positive need in the world. Because when you have a worthwhile purpose, it attracts the forces of the universe. It attracts people to come and aid and assist you to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And so with those seven keys to establishing your purpose, that leads me to the introduction of a young man that I have been eternally proud of, a young man that I have seen grow. Now, when I met him, he was already rich. Okay. Today, we're going to be sharing a moment with Ken Brown. And Ken is an international business coach, author, entrepreneur, inspirational speaker. And one of the things I love about Ken is Ken's life has always been one of choice. He may tell you a little about his background, but he's a young man that had every excuse to fail, and nobody would have said anything. So he's a young man that has chosen a path, and the path that he has chosen was one that demonstrated service. Mm. I call it, he always demonstrated a hunger for excellence. And this hunger for excellence has paid off in monumental ways. I mean, Ken has been, he's written books. He's written at least two books. One I really love, he calls it Life, Living in Freedom. Every day. That's my favorite. Living in freedom every day. And then a second book, Leap of Faith. That many times you just have to close your eyes and go for it. Wow. Ken has been featured in Ebony magazine. He's been written up on the Inquirer. He's been mentored and he's friends with Les Brown. He's, as a matter of fact, he's one of those millionaires included in Tavis Smiley's book. I've had the honor of being a mentor, coach, and friend with him. And I always say, Ken is that son from another mother. So, and, you know, and the beautiful thing, he's even been on, what was that? Wife Swap. Wife yes. Swap. I said, now that's interesting. So folks, with no further ado, I want you to meet my friend, my mentor, my son from another mother, a young man I'm extremely proud of, Ken Brown. Welcome to the Millionaire Mentorship Show.
Wow, Dr. Harris, let me tell you something, sir. I mean this with all sincerity, sir. I don't think you would ever understand the impact that just the associations that you've made in my life. The law of association says you become the top five people you surround yourself with, and it reminds me, and I'm gonna be totally transparent. There's probably out of 7 days a week, out of 4 days, when I'm in these high-level meetings, when I'm in coaching clients, even my family, the wisdom, the nuggets that you have imparted in me personally through our conversation, our coaching, and then the gift of your book, there's not at least 4 or 5 days out of the week that I do not apply those. Because I believe this, Dr. Harris. I know this. See, I believe belief is one level, but knowledge is another level, right? Uh-huh. I know this for a fact, that a presentation without application is nothing but a mere conversation. And so, come on, I'm gonna say it again for you. Presentation without application is nothing but a mere conversation. Dr. Harris, you have had several presentations with me, conversations with me, and I'm telling you, every time we've talked, I have took nuggets, I've applied those, and my life has been supercharged because of it, because of your failures, some of your successes, just the wisdom that you exude and you put out there in the universe. As a young African-American entrepreneur, sir, I want to tell you that it has really changed not only my life, but my children's children's life, because I plant seeds in them. So I'm excited to be on this call with you. It is very, very exciting. I just thank you. Keep doing what you're doing, because you are freeing people every day. You don't even know it. So I thank you. I honor you. So I mean that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Ken.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we were sharing earlier, when I first met you, I came to Detroit to speak, and you picked me up at the airport in a beautiful, I love that Mercedes, that big SUV, you know. You wonder, where's the rest of the people? It looks like a bus. You picked me up, and we drove up into one of your McDonald's restaurants, and man, I was impressed, and you stopped the van, got out, went up, picked up a piece of paper, and put it into the trash.
Wow.
And that always stuck with me, because it said that you had a vision of the way you wanted your property to look. And so, Ken, I'd love just to share that. How did you come to be a McDonald's owner? Man, I hear you were one of the youngest Black men to ever own a McDonald's, and you must have started out with a lot of money.
You know what? No, you know what I did? Faith was my currency.
Woo!
I believe, I'm not trying to be pretentious. I believe that. I know that faith is currency in the kingdom. I've always had a kingdom mindset. It reminds me of something that James Allen said, a quote once. It says, all that a man becomes or fails to become is directly related to his thoughts. A man can rise no higher than his thoughts. So, Mr. Harris, see, you said before I became a millionaire physically, I was a millionaire mentally. We grew up in poverty. But my parents never allowed poverty to live in us. Mm. So my parents always introduced us to people who were two or three steps ahead of us. My parents always taught us that you cannot be what you cannot see. So growing up, my mother, even though this is a true story, Dr. Harris, we grew up in poverty on welfare, but my mother used to take us to the welfare, take us to the Millionaires Club. This is a true story. We used to go downtown Chicago at least twice a year. And she would take us to the Millionaires Club. Now, they were eating caviar and lobster and filet mignon. And we were eating hamburgers, french fries, and drinking kitty cocktails. But it wasn't about the food we were eating. It was about what we were seeing and the seeds that were being planted in us. And so I took those seeds of faith. My mother and father always told us, you cannot be what you can't see. So I always had a power of a vision. Dr. Harris, I believe that vision is the art of seeing the invisible. And then when we are able to see the invisible, then and only then can we do the impossible. And so I took those two seeds of a powerful vision and unwavering faith, and I put on a journey to success. I believe that all of us have a GPS. You know, GPS is very powerful, right?
Yes.
What I understand is that God created each one of us with an eternal GPS. The global positioning system. So at the right age of 12 years old, I programmed success into my eternal GPS. And then I pushed the button, boop! The lady said, go left, go right. You know, and on that journey, I made some stops and stalls. But what I found out is that those stops, those stalls, wasn't there to stop me. They were there to see how bad I really wanted it. Let me give you an example. My mother and father told us that education was the way out of poverty. So they told us, we get 17 years old, either we go to college or we have to move out of their house. All five of us went to college and got degrees, not because we were smart or lucky, because of expectation. Mm. So I always wanted to recession-proof my life. And you said something early about service. You know, Shirley Chisholm once said that service is the debt that you pay for the space that you occupy on the planet. Woo!
Yes.
But I got that. So I became intentional about my future and my craft. I wanted to become successful and become a subject matter expert at service. Mm. So I had to find a niche. And so it was food. I believe food was a recession proof. People need food, water, and shelter. So I went to college, got a degree in food and nutrition. And I never forget when I, a senior year, I got recruited by a company called ARA Services. A guy named Rick Weber recruited me and said, Ken Brown, when you matriculate, you got a job. Dr. Harris, I didn't know what matriculate meant. So but I knew it was something good because as we spoke, he nodded and he smiled. I went to the Morris Library on campus, looked in the dictionary, and it said graduate. When I matriculated, he gave me a job paying me $18,500 as assistant food service director. Mm. I was so excited because I was the first one in my family to graduate and get a job in my discipline. And all my friends as well. That job lasted for 6 months. And after 6 months, my director named Mary called me into her office and she fired me. Mm. Now, it was in Illinois. And I said, why are you fired? I said, how are you going to fire me? You never written me up. This is when I became an entrepreneur. She said, Mr. Brown, this is Illinois. And she said, this is something called at-will employment. I didn't know what that meant. Mm. She said, that means that we can hire you or fire you at our will. And nothing you can do about it. That was, at 21 years old, that shaped the rest of my life. At that point in time, I said, I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. I'm never going to let a person, place, or thing determine my destiny or my future. And then I became an entrepreneur without a business. And I'll say it again for you. I became an entrepreneur in my mind. And I said, I'm going to not do a job. I'm going to do paid internships. I'm going to go into companies that align with my purpose. I'm going to earn, learn, and move on. I was serving tables at a restaurant in 1999 in Aurora, Illinois. And I was, remember, to be truly great, you must first serve others. And unbeknownst to me, a husband and her wife had been watching me for 2 years. And the husband used to engage me in conversation. And he said, something is different about you, Mr. Brown. And I told him, I'm only here because I'm going to own my own restaurant. I called their name. Called Ken's Hot Dog Stands. The Bible says, write the vision, make it plain. Those who read with it will run with it, and it will not tarry. Dr. Harris, that's a powerful, powerful life principle, isn't it? Mm. I had a vision. I wrote it down. I didn't have a business plan, but I had a made-up mind, Dr. Harris. Mm. I didn't have money, but I had vision, Dr. Harris. I didn't have money, but I did have my time. And I was in there investing my time in the right place. And so she, as fate should have it, the lady said, Mr. Brown, she was the vice president of McDonald's. She saw me one day and told me that she wanted me to work for McDonald's, and she had a plan for me. I did not know that the lady that I was serving was a vice president of McDonald's. And you know what the Bible says too, so powerful? The Bible says in Hebrews, it says, be careful because you might be serving angels unaware. Mm. That's powerful. And so I was serving her. And some people say, well, Ken, you were lucky. No, it wasn't luck. It was intentional. It was absolutely intentional because I had a vision. I was very passionate about it. And I was making sure that I was using my time wisely. And I believe that purpose is when intentions collide, Dr. Harris. Mm. I'm going to say it again for you. Purpose is when intentions collide. That man had a business. Mm-hmm. I had a desire to have a business. So I took my time. And I invested in his business. And then you bring the lady from McDonald's in there. Our purposes collide. And next thing you know, she told me to come and she gave me a job for McDonald's as a consultant, paid me $80,000 a year. I went in, I improved the quality, service, and cleanliness of all the restaurants. And now remember, she paid me $80,000, but I increased the quality, service, and cleanliness, and even the cash flow by $150,000 each restaurant. That's $600,000 I was value added. That's a very important point. You see, I believe this, Dr. Harris. The marketplace doesn't pay you by the hour. It pays you by the value you bring to the hour. Woo, that's fine.
Ken, let me tell you something, man. You're dropping pearls. You know, I feel like a man who has a bag of diamonds with a hole in it. Okay? And as he's walking along, he's dropping diamonds and people see them. So let's just back up a minute, man, because you have dropped some diamonds there. Now, one thing you said, that you were a risk taker.
Yes.
In other words, there are many people at $18,000 a year, a job just out of college, that was pretty good.
Oh, I thought I was rich.
You know? There are many people that would get into that job and settle in like that's forever. Yeah. What was it that made you a risk taker to say that, you know, there's something better for me. There's something else that I got to do, and I'm gonna go for it.
That's a powerful, powerful question, Dr. Harris. And I want to say, I'm not being pretentious. I don't think in my introduction you talked about, I'm the product of teenage parents. My mother and father were 13 and 14 when they started having babies. Mm. By the age of 20, they had 5 children under 8. Now, in the process of growing up, we were evicted 10 times growing up. So each one of those times we grew up, my mother taught me something. My mother said, God has something bigger and better in store for you. Every time we got evicted, Dr. Harris, we never stayed there long. When we got a new house, sir, it was bigger. It was better. Come on now. I took that same principle and applied it to jobs. I said, wait a minute. This job, it got to be something bigger and better. So I guess my parents, I have to give them credit because they raised our ceiling. They always raised our ceiling on us. They said that, you know, you can have what you want. You can be what you want to be. You can have what you want to have. He said, but it's a choice. You got to be willing to pay the price. And so at an early age, I knew that the greater the risk, the greater the reward. And I'm a kind of unique person, Dr. Harris. I'm one of these people that wake up every day. And this is how I've been since I was smaller. I wake up every day, Dr. Harris, and I strategically find ways to become uncomfortable because I know that my success, my growth is right there on the other side of my comfort zone. I was just talking to a client early this morning and saying that's the one fear I have is being uncomfortable. Because I know, Dr. Harris, that there's more in me. And yes. I never looked at myself as being a person, Dr. Harris. I'm potential. You taught me that. Mm-hmm. You taught me that. And so all we have to do is take that potential called seed and plant it in fertile ground. And give us some aquafria. And give aquafria. Us some woo! It's game over.
Man, I tell you, Ken, I got to take a little break here for our announcements. We got to let the world know where we're coming from and what we're doing. So let's just take a moment's break here. All right, welcome back. You are now tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bishani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. We're available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and anywhere a mobile device is available. Now, we're going to return now to, I tell you, Ken, when you speak, sometimes I don't know whether to shout or take up a collection. I tell you, it seems that God and your faith in God has been like a center of your success. Maybe you could share a little about that.
Well, you know what? You're absolutely correct because I got to go back to my Genesis, the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Damon Johns have a powerful book out. It's called The Power of Broke. Harris, it is a powerful book. And Damon John in there talks about that that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, that everything's not seen. So that was the genesis of everything, was that we didn't have a lot. So we had to depend and rely and trust on faith and God. And I took that and used that as wealth, to build wealth. I'm going to be honest with you, because I looked at myself as potential. So I believe that if God already gave me everything I need, then the onus is on me. I believe this, Dr. Harris, that a life is a gift from God, and the use of our life is a gift to God. I've always had that mentality that it is a gift. Now, how I use the gift is up to me. And so I've always been under the mindset that my faith is something that, I don't care how much money I have, I can grow my faith. So I've leveraged that and used that. Even today, I'm in a project right now, middle of a huge project, and the two things that's sustaining me is three things. It's my wisdom, my knowledge, my experience, and then my faith. Because faith is the cornerstone of everything. And if I have to be honest, it all goes back to what I saw in my household. We didn't have a lot, but my mother had supersized faith, no pun intended. And I took that and I leveraged that. I could look back at my life and every opportunity I had was because I got uncomfortable and I exercised faith. And so if that worked for me at this point in time, why would I abandon it? Because you know what also? Faith is a level playing field, Dr. Harris. Mm. Everyone has it. And so either you're going to feed it or you're going to water it or you're going to abandon it. So for me, I'm not being funny when I say this, that faith was always my currency. And it has served me very, very well.
Mm. Very well. Wow. You know, Ken, when you think about that, you dropped so many nuggets. You said some things that were just super powerful. I saw you with Damon John on a program. What program was that?
That was we were on this his Shark Tank just came out and they had us, we were in Detroit, and we actually did a live Shark Tank here in Detroit. It was absolutely, we had about 1,500 people come and we just talked to them about how to identify, how to grow, how to scale, how to sell a business. And a lot of the time we talked about the secrets of a millionaire mindset. That's really what we really cast to the students there, that, you know, the mindset is the genesis of everything. You know, everyone wants to be a millionaire. Everyone wants to own their own business, but it starts with your thoughts. And so we really, really drew that in there. That was a couple of years ago. That was a really rich experience. I mean, we broke bread together. We had some high level conversations. He explained to me that he don't really do a lot in non-perishables. He does the apparel business because the profit margins are so great with the apparel business. I was trying to get him to do the deal with me with the food business, but he wouldn't have it.
I guess he says anything you got to replace the next day, don't mess with it.
That's exactly what he said, Dr. Harris. That's exactly what he said.
But that reminds me, once I was talking with Tony Robbins and someone asked him, he said, well, do you have horses? And Tony said, I don't want anything to eat while I sleep.
Wow. That's powerful.
Well, you know, Ken, when you saw your McDonald's, I know you did some appearances with Les Brown. You and Les were part of his team and you all did some things together. When you saw your McDonald's, you started out on a new path. Was there any thought that kind of guided you, you know, where you wanted to go? You know, once you get your money, you're sort of free. Yeah. And say, what was your thought path? Say, well, now I got some money. I have solved the riddle of survival. Okay. Yes, sir. What do I do with my life from this point on?
You know what? That goes back to what I said. That's when I started my, I guess, remember the phases of life?
Yes.
That was my power phase.
Yes.
I was power stage. Mm-hmm. I wanted to leverage my power and influence to help 4 million people get free from the life they created. Because it was a fascinating thing to be born to teenage parents and to be able to work my way out of poverty. And once you said, saw the riddle of survival, but then to have 160 employees, that was really humbling to me for 12 years to have those employees that depended on me. And I saw that the quality of money that we paid them and the quality of the business determined the quality of their life. Mm-hmm. And I got convicted with that, Dr. Harris, because I just knew that I was no different from those people who worked for me. And the only difference was the mindset. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to sell my stores. And I'm going to go on this journey to help 4 million people get free from the life they created. Not playing a blame game, was to help them do the work. So then they choose to go out and do a job, they can do a job. But for the people who wanted to be free, then I would give them the time, tools, and training to be successful. How would I do that? By writing books, hosting seminars, and doing things like we're doing to give them access to the information. And so that to me, and I've been able to travel from Africa to Alabama training, teaching, wrote 3 award-winning books. And you know what, people, I said, well, how do you count how many lives? You know, that's kind of short-sighted, Dr. Harris. You know what I'm saying? Because I really understand that it's not about the number. It's a goal. Yes. And I'm not naive enough to understand that I might not see those 4 million people, but there's not a doubt in my mind that I'm going to impact my words, my message is going to impact 4 million people. I know that. So that to me was just, it was a conscious choice I had to make as a part of my legacy.
Mm-hmm. Now, I see now, you thank you so much, Ken, because I think people need to know that once you're free from that survival, from just providing food, clothing, and shelter, once you've gotten that freedom, what you do with the rest of your life is so critical, because now it's truly in your hands.
Yes, sir.
But I noticed now, I was looking in Crane's, the business journal, they had a nice write-up of how you're planning a $1.25 million development down in downtown Detroit. Wow. You made that pivot. What? How did you make the pivot from like food service and, you know, inspiration, motivation to become a developer, to start recreating downtown Detroit?
You know what? That's very interesting. And actually, I want to make a point. Actually, we're actually going, it's all about service again, Dr. Harris. Mm-hmm. Go back to what you said. Mm-hmm. We're going to an underserved community.
Yes.
I told you, I grew up in poverty. The wealth and the poverty is not about money. It's about a mindset. So because I consider myself a modern day evolutionist, you know, I think her name was Harriet Tubman once said in an interview, she said, I could have freed more slaves if they only would have known they were slaves. And so I took that and I take that very seriously. So once again, how do I leverage my knowledge, skill, ability, and resources to come and create change for the masses? And so the area we're going into is it's an urban environment in Detroit. It's not really not downtown. And so I didn't really make a pivot, to be honest. I'm doing the same thing. So now we own the whole block. It's 22,000 square feet of real estate. It's a 22,000 square feet building, commercial building. I'm going to anchor my new restaurant called Simply Breakfast in there. I'm going to create an economic engine. So I'm going to put my restaurant in there. I also own the rights to a company called Torremino's Pizza in Detroit. So we're going to put anchor with Simply Breakfast and Torremino's Pizza. We're going to create 100 construction jobs, and we're also going to create 70 full-time jobs. Also, we are going to be a catalyst for change for this emerging urban community. So think about it. I'm using the same skills that I used when I built my McDonald's restaurant. I'm using the same leadership to lead the high-performing team. And then also, I'm serving an underserved community. So I really didn't just, I didn't just position, I just supersized my dream and my purpose.
That sounds like a book, man. Supersize your dreams.
I really did. I mean, Dr. Harris, you taught me this, Dr. Harris. I believe this. I believe that every day you have to, you talked about Gandhi, and that's a powerful quote about Gandhi. My father taught me something so early. He said, Ken, you must, not you should, you must find a cause bigger than yourself and get lost in it.
Say that again, Ken.
You must find a cause that's bigger than yourself and get lost in it. Ooh. And so what that does, Dr. Harris, is that keeps me humble but hungry. Follow me. It's not about me, but it's up to me. So for me as a leader, and John Maxwell taught us that leaders know the way, show the way, and go the way. So this new project is all about that. I know the way because people like you, my father, mentors, coaches, they've taught me, gave me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And so I believe that leaders have a responsibility. But once you get free, your job is to help other people get free. And what really drives me, Dr. Harris, is that I look at the global world of the trajectory where we're going. The world is kind of shrinking. If you think about the phone, the iPhone, and this the technology, it is a great tool. But remember, I got my start as an entrepreneur, not on an online business, not as an author. I got my entree into entrepreneurship with a brick and mortar service driven business. Somebody created a job for me. And as a leader, I'm getting a little bit nervous because as I look at the world and the globe, what's going to happen? Everybody has an app. Everybody has an iPhone. Everybody has this technology. But who's creating jobs? Who's creating jobs in the community? So for me, I'm in this season, I'm going to develop projects that improve assets. Because I love buildings too. I love real estate. But also, the result is job creation. I'm very, very passionate about creating jobs for people because, see, everybody can't do what we do.
Yes.
And actually, we are in that 1-2% club.
Yes.
What about the 95% of people who need a job to have a livable wage, take care of their family? Yes. They're looking for us to create it. So I'm so excited about this season, Dr. Harris. I always did love employing people because I didn't just employ people. I also empower people because I'm a motivated leader. So who I am now, when I'm in my business, I'm teaching, I'm training, and it's so I'm still doing the same thing, but it's now on a whole different level.
But you know,
very exciting.
But you know, Cameron, I visited your restaurants with you. I have never seen a group of anybody more happier about working there.
Wow.
I mean, everybody, you know, you go into many companies, we were at a fast food restaurant the other day, and everybody in there seemed to be very angry that they were there in the first place.
No way.
And so I remember going into your restaurant. Now, you had 160 people, and every one of them seemed like they were self-realized. They were happy. They were happy to be there. And you treated each one of them just like they were your best friend.
Wow.
And I think they responded accordingly.
You know, that was actually a leadership strategy.
Yes.
What I've learned, Dr. Harris, is that as a business leader, I don't really like employees.
Uh-huh.
Because employees, they just come, exchange dollars for hours. They really don't understand add value. They don't understand that as a leader, I'm providing them an opportunity to come and shine, to come and make money. By, you know, you come and you don't come and change dollars for hours. You come and you add value. Remember, you don't get paid by the hour. You get paid by the value you bring to the hour. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was strategically and intentionally, I never paid people minimum wage, Dr. Harris. You know why? Because in my company, we had a vision to be the best, to be a role model for what an outstanding restaurant operation is. And I just understand that how can I pay people minimum wage and expect for them to give me maximum effort? So I made a conscious decision to pay people a livable wage. I had managers at McDonald's restaurant. No, they were happy because the Bible says money answers all things. Does it not?
So yes.
For me, I just knew that there was a gap in me and my organization being able to deliver platinum level customer service when people came there with money on their mind. So as a leader, I had to sit down and make a conscious effort to make sure that I paid people more than a livable wage so they could be vested. And so God has given me a great ability to transform people from employees to partners.
Partners.
You see,
partners
are vested. Partners are going to steal from themselves.
Yes.
Partners are going to take ownership. So I spent my time making sure that we transform the minds and hearts of employees so they become partner so we can get those high level results.
Wow.
Now you know, sir.
Woo! But you know, that's really the manifestation. There's a principle that says on a job, when you're working on somebody else's dream, generally they only pay you just enough to keep you from quitting.
Yes, sir.
But then the other side of that is subconsciously, you only deliver enough value to keep from being fired.
And that hurts, and in turn, that hurts the business, it hurts the culture, and you know who loses? Our customers.
Yes, yes.
So as a leader, we have a responsibility to shift the culture. So what you experienced was a culture, we had a culture there, a spirit of excellence, of collaborative efforts. George Frazier taught me something so powerful. He said, you know, Mr. Brown, he said, you know, in regular life, 1 + 1 = 2. He said, but in the spirit of collaboration and teamwork, he said 1 + 1 = 11.
Wow.
The kind of culture we had there. Because I believe that I just didn't want people to say, oh, this is Mr. Ken's business. I wanted people to say, this is our business. And guess what? We were able to create that kind of culture. And what we call it is, as a leader, I was able to develop what we call a high-performing team. And I was just got a call last week from one of our staff, old staff members saying, Mr. Brown, the way that we did business in those two enterprises, he said, I'm 30 years old now. He said, and it hasn't been duplicated yet. Because I believe this, that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them.
Yes.
I'm in the people business.
Yes.
I am. I'm not in the restaurant. I'm not a developer.
Right.
And you taught me that. You know what? You know what? I know one thing you always do. I know. I see you. You always, in your book, you talk about it too. The most powerful words that you can give a person is, I'm proud of you. I appreciate you. Right or wrong?
That's right.
That's like a highest level. I think as Maslow said, the highest hierarchy need is people to feel wanted, right or wrong.
That's it.
When you have an opportunity to have people who work with you on a team work or work in your company, our job is to flip the script. See, most organizations, you got the org chart, the CEO on the top. What we believe is that you flip the script.
Mm.
I serve the people who serve our customers. Back to service again.
Yes.
And I invest in them. And that's the best investment we can ever make is in the human spirit, human capital. Woo, boy, yes. I get excited just thinking about that.
But, you know, Ken, as you, that, you know, like I said, I feel like we're in church and ready to take up a collection. I'll tell you, though, as I see you translate that vision into the, you might say, the governmental, the development arena, over the next 10 years, man, I was just trying to figure, you're creating, you were saying, a number of jobs right now, and you figure what you're doing right now is a seed for the future. Over 10 years, you know, you're going to create thousands and thousands of jobs.
Yeah, that's my legacy, man. That is my goal. I talked to my son yesterday. My son now is 22 years old. He goes to Michigan State University. And he's decided, you know, he played football, won 3 championships. And now he is guess what he does? He's a performance improvement coach.
Mm.
So physically. So he's not a physical trainer. He's he deals with high-level athletes, helping them improve their performance. Now, guess what? We talked yesterday for 2 hours. We had a 2-hour session yesterday. Guess what we're talking about? Strategy. How does he scale his business?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, Dad, I watched you at McDonald's. He said, you put together a high-performing team. You paid people. You didn't work in the business. You worked on the business. And I would see how you were able to scale it. So now I'm having a conversation with my son about how he's going to put a facility in Michigan. He's going to put one in Florida, one in California. So once again, I said earlier, you can't be what you can't see. So my son has been watching this, and now to see him, and he articulated Dr. Harris. Yeah. So now not only I'm creating jobs, my son said, hey, I'm not going to get a job there. I'm going to create jobs, opportunity, people. Dr. Harris, anybody can do it. But you just, like you said earlier, you have to program this into your mind. Think about the GPS. The GPS is such a powerful tool. Think about it. The GPS, you only need one thing to activate it. You don't need to know where you came from.
Uh-uh.
You don't even know where you are. All you need to know is where you're going. And once you program it in there and push the button activate, the only thing can stop you, Dr. Harris, is you. You got to push the button to say abort. But if you don't push the button to say abort, you're going to get to that destination. And guess what? 98% of the times, you're going to get there right on time, sir.
Beautiful. Well, Ken, I tell you, man, we need to have an interview that goes for like a week. But let me tell you, we're near the end of our time now. And, you know, I often ask a person, you know, if there was one nugget or one thing that one difference-making thing that either a difference-making person or a difference-making thought that you could leave our audience with, that they could take that and ruminate on it, meditate on it, and it can really help them, that really helped you.
I would give 3. Can I give 3?
Three, yes.
We call it a three-legged stool.
Yes.
First of all, you have to have an accountability partner.
Mm.
You have to have someone, and it can't be your wife, your husband, your friend. It has to be someone who you trust and you respect. And another qualifier is they have to be two or three steps ahead of you. Because why? That gives you something to aspire. Remember, you can't be what you can't see. The second thing is you got to be committed. Stay committed. Because you know why? Because commitment is the line that you draw between wishing and doing.
Say that again.
Commitment is the line that you draw between wishing and doing.
Mm.
And the lastly, and probably the most importantly is that keep the faith.
Mm.
You have to, you know, don't look at, see, I believe this. Don't focus on what you're going through. Focus on where you're going to. That's about faith, isn't it? I tell you this quick story. My grandmother used to take me to the dog races when I was growing up, the horse races. And I noticed, Dr. Harris, each one of those horses had some things on called blinders.
Yes.
I asked the trainer, why did those horses have on blinders? He said, Mr. Brown, because in your race, in our life, our business is a race. He said, in that race, he said, all distractions are equal. If the horse didn't have the blinders on, the horse would look to the left or look to the right. Keep your blinders on. What you focus on the longest will become your strongest. Don't focus on what you're going through. It's only temporary. Keep focus on what you're going to. That's the distraction right there. Oh, it happens. It's going to happen, but we don't have to happen with it, sir. This is exciting stuff, isn't it?
Woo! Well, I'll tell you, Ken, I just want to thank you for being here and for sharing. And I think that last word you said, don't focus on what you're going through, focus on what you're going to.
Wow. That's really
man, Ken, I'm so proud of you. I thank you so much. We're gonna have to do some follow-up interviews, man, because you were dropping nuggets like they were grains of sand.
Thanks to you. Yes, sir. I love you, sir. I love keep the man. I'm proud of you, sir. I'm honestly, you make a difference, Mr. Harris. I mean, Dr. Harris, you make a difference, sir. I mean it, man. It's a powerful thing.
Thank you, Ken. And we'll be seeing you on the other side of success.
Yes,
sir. Wow. Okay. Well, folks, we have, let me just take a deep breath here for 1 minute. Wow, this is Dr. Herbert Harris, and we have just had, this was not an interview, we have just had an experience with my friend Ken Brown, entrepreneur, writer, developer, and I'll say this, a person who is committed to excellence. As he said, don't worry about what you're going through, just focus on what you're going to. Thank you so much, Ken, for an incredible interview, and for our listeners, you know, we love to close out with an affirmation. And I have a two-part affirmation today. And part one says, today I go forth with an attitude of gratitude. I think throughout Ken's talk, you could hear that he was always grateful for what he received. Today I go forth with an attitude of gratitude. And part two is, today I go forth with a mission of service, knowing that the donation I make to life is what really counts. I'll say that again. Today, I go forth with a mission of service, knowing that the donation I make to life is what really counts. And your assignment for today, your call to action, is to go out and find who you can help. Who you can teach, find somebody you can help, find somebody you can teach, find somebody you can mentor, find somebody you can love, and do for them what has been done for so many of us who become successful. Give them that care, that concern, that knowledge, and sometimes the only thing you have to do is just listen to them and let them know you believe in them. When you can do those things, then you'll know that the best is yet to come. This is Dr. Herbert Harris. This is the Millionaire Mentorship Show. If you want more information about us, Check out our website at www.herbertharris.com. That's www.herbertharris.com. And folks, tune in again next week, because we're going to be bringing you messages, power messages, thoughts, ideas, and people who have changed the world and who are willing to tell you how they did it, so that you can learn to be what you want to be, do what you want to do, and have whatever you want to have, knowing always that the best is yet to come.
Millionaire Mentorship. Millionaire Mentorship. The Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Vashani Radio and iHeart Radio.
On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. VashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.